Venga, le da.
Hi, my name is Anaïs Ewes.
And I'm Isabella Perilla.
Welcome to Backbeat, a podcast where we talk about the music industry through a feminine eye. This episode is so special to us and is an extremely important topic of which we are both passionate about, especially as we're coming close to summer and the start of festival season.
We'll be discussing female representation in music festival lineups, which is, funnily enough, my final year dissertation topic as well. I'll be sharing my findings with you all as Anaïs and I discuss our own opinions and perspectives, both as individuals in the music industry and as festival fans ourselves. Let's get started! So just for some context, Anaïs, because obviously I've been researching this issue for quite a while now. It's quite a part of my daily thoughts and daily thought process, but it's something that is incredibly important to talk about. And that's one of the reasons why we're also recording this episode today, because it's something that it's also being investigated quite a lot. So there are a lot of things coming up about this topic that I want to share with you right now. And basically that first answers the question of what is the actual issue? What is happening in the industry right now? So within the UK specifically, in 2017, the BBC Data Unit published a study outlining that only 6% of acts at over 600 headline appearances across 14 major festivals in the UK were women. This is out of the BBC, and this was almost 6 years ago. Since the BBC Data Unit published this, it started getting a lot of light in media and amongst industry professionals. And basically what they said was, we need to get better about this. In 2018, there was a movement that is called the Key Change Initiative, founded by the PRS Foundation in partnership with Creative Europe. And they basically started a pledge where a lot, like it's up to almost 600 different music organizations now that have pledged to achieve gender equality by 2022. This was in 2018, just a year after this report came out, okay? In 2019, we did see an increase in gender representation, and this was especially important in Europe. It was something that really, really came up in Europe. It was a really heavy topic of conversation in Primavera Sound, which we are both very big fans of. And actually, we had a very cool lineup that year. It was a 50-50 gender split,
right,
in Primavera that year, which was the first time. And it basically proved that it was possible, because there was so much backlash from a lot of people that said that female artists aren't just good enough to warrant as headline acts, which is really bad. Like, it's just like, it's so untrue.
It's nonsense. It's basically nonsense.
Yeah. And the fact that like they were saying this in 2019 is very surprising. And it's very concerning as well. Cut to 2020, obviously, so many festivals got canceled. So many of them got postponed for 2021, given the COVID-19 pandemic. So a lot of them didn't actually go through. The numbers did look better, but not to actually warrant like a 50-50. And then in 2021, a study conducted by insurance specialist company Productivity revealed that only 21% of all artists performing at UK major festivals in 2021 were female or female identifying. So the number did increase, but it's still not enough to like reach 50%.
Yeah, it's still less than half of.
Yeah. And then finally, in 2022, there was a new BBC Data Unit report that revealed 13% of 200 headline acts were all female bands. So the one in 2021 had a survey of all the acts. The one in 2022 was just headline act. But it's still not enough. Like, what is happening? And this is basically why I started thinking about this issue, because in my experience in festivals and as a fan of festivals ourselves, I just started looking into this issue as something that is crazy to think about in the 21st century. You know, it shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, you're totally right. And also, as a very fan of festivals myself, I can say that when I started going to festivals, it didn't actually cross my mind how many women were represented in the lineup or as headlining artists. I didn't actually have any notion of the issue that was going on the music industry right before, like, the whole feminism movement and all these organizations working towards giving women in music a spotlight and a place where we can be seen and heard. So it's been nice seeing some kind of change, but still it's not enough. And there's no equality whatsoever yet.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to ask you, Anais, just so everyone can know, what your experience at festivals has been like. When did you start going to festivals? And yeah, why this topic interests you?
Well, my first festival ever was Festival Estéreo Picnic in Bogotá, Colombia, 2018. I really recommend that festival. Very, very different than the rest in Latin America. The weather is very nice. Colombia is a very beautiful country. That year, it was LCD Sound System, Gorillaz, The Killers, and Lana Del Rey as headliners. So one out of four headliners was just women. Then I had the opportunity to go to Coachella last year, 2022. Amazing experience as well. Even though Coachella, we know it's like an influencer festival, people just go for like the pictures and stuff, but actually, like, music wise it's very nice and it's very diverse as well. And 2022, it was Harry Styles, which he actually performed with Lizzo on the second weekend that I went. It was Billie Eilish and The Weeknd for headliners. So one out of three. If you actually think about it, looking at all the festivals that I've been to, which have been like in the majority electronic music festivals, there's always like, it's always going to be like the minority of women being represented in the lineups.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can like start a conversation towards this and have it change in the upcoming years. But yeah, I feel like it's very noticeable.
Yeah, something that is really important to note, and this is just for context for our conversation as well. Anais has experience in the US industry. She lives there. So her perspective of it is going to be more towards
this side of the world.
Yeah. Whereas I live in London. I've only been and worked at UK festivals. So it's a cool thing that we get to share both of our perspectives, but also compare and contrast what we're trying to see and achieve and what the basis of change is like in both of our ends of the world, I guess.
Correct. Correct. I also like that in the US, even though it's like a lot of, you know, pop culture and mainstream, the Latino community that has grown around Latin American music, it's huge on this side of the world. So that's very cool to see. Also, like, there's been a huge change in women representing reggaeton nowadays.
Yeah.
So we are like paving the way for the upcoming generations to have a space in those genres in music. So that's interesting to see as well.
So do you see like representation taking other forms as well, like beyond gender?
Yes.
Do you see representation and diversity being represented like across races and across ethnicities, across identities, which we should explore in a different episode, I think. Like, that would be really interesting.
Yes. Yes. That's a whole nother episode, but definitely. I feel there's been a change right now. It's like I said, it's not enough. And there's still a lot of work to do, but we are seeing differences in diversity, identities, cultures being represented in a whole lot of genres in the music industry at the moment. So we love that. It is possible. Everyone just like keeps living their lives. There's nothing wrong about it. No one's gonna stop listening to music. So let's embrace the change, because it'll be boring if we will be all the same.
Definitely. So to dive in a little bit on the reasons why this happens, we have found a lot of causes. there are a lot of different reasons why this is still an issue today, but we've broken them down into four major ones, which we can both agree is something that not only affects the festival industry, but affects the music industry as a whole. So the first one is the pipeline issue. Many people, especially in the UK, because it's something that people talk about a lot with that under that name, but I don't know if you've heard of it, Anais.
I mean, it's a reflex of how society is in general just being represented in the music industry.
Yeah, exactly. So in summary, just to cut it short, the pipeline issue is basically the fact that female artists, female musicians get less support than men. Within the system, women get less support. And this actually stems from bias. This stems from stereotypes, and this stems from years and years and years, like hundreds, I dare to claim, of stereotypes and sexism and bias. I recently spoke to a music researcher, Vic Bain, and she told me that the music industry is just coming out of hundreds of years of musical patriarchy. If you see down the history of composers, of musicians, of everything, even starting in classical music years back, you're mostly going to see white men. That's it.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, very few female composers are talked about. Very few make it to the history books. Obviously, it's gone better now. I'm not saying it's the same as it was back then, but we are still just recently coming out of it. We're still becoming aware of this, of these issues present in our industry. So it is something that is important to talk about in the context of this issue, because the perception of women is still highly sexualized. It's still highly stereotypical. And it starts with the instruments that we're encouraged to play. And this is something that we actually discussed
yes,
in a previous episode, episode 2, I think, right?
yeah. It's basically like one of the main reasons we decided to create a podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's so true. The origin.
Yeah. Women, we are like stereotypically directed to follow a certain kind of identity and perception towards the audience. Like, we have to play the piano or do ballet or dance or be in the background or sing. Yes. There are very few women which are like playing drums, playing bass, doing rock, doing heavy metal, doing this kind of scenarios in music that you don't really see them, but we exist and we are there and we are like amazing at it. So it's just all about giving them visibility.
It starts from that. It starts from the instruments that we play, and it goes into the careers that we're encouraged to go to. Most women are encouraged to go into music education careers, whereas men are encouraged to go to producer or like more technical skills that are required. The pipeline issue actually explains the fact that women are not seen the same as men in a context like music specifically. And record labels they're less likely to give support to female artists, which leads to agencies having a smaller pool of signed artists that they're able to try to like push them into different venues and different tours and different festivals. And then festival organizers therefore have a smaller pool of artists to pick from to play in their festivals.
Exactly.
So it just starts from a really, really, really long line of stereotypes and bias. And this is something that really needs to change. Not only for more artists to be on stage at the festivals, but for more artists to be in the industry as well, and for more support to be there, like present.
Exactly. How do we expect to have a 50-50 lineup if there's not a 50-50 representation of gender in the industry itself, like in executive roles, in backstage, in production teams, in all aspects of music? There is this like gender despair. So we need to start from the root if we want change.
Exactly. And that actually gives us a really good segue to the next reason why there are less female artists on stage now. And there is a lot of underrepresentation of female artists in festivals. There is a very big hypothesis amongst music researchers, and I really do believe this myself after doing all this research for the dissertation, that there is a direct correlation between industry employees and festival artists. And that just comes to who's making the decisions on who's going on stage.
Of course.
I've spoken to a couple festival programmers at UK major festivals, and they try to explain the process in that sometimes there are different teams involved in the creation of the actual curation of the smaller stages. The headline stage or the main stage is often programmed separately, and that's where the problem lies. So it's fine that like there's separate entities because of the importance of the main stage. Like, it's a different process, it's different negotiations. That's completely okay. Problem comes because the senior roles that are being occupied at that main stage are mostly occupied by men.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the problem comes, because there is no women, there is no woman to be there and just like even just remind them or tell them, like, hey, we should get a female artist in there somewhere.
Correct.
You know? And that's where the problem starts. And that's exactly what you were saying before.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I feel like not only having women to say, hey, we should have women in the lineup, just to have that female energy around and know that there's women making decisions and in big roles and, like, being part of like these huge conversations and everything going on in festivals, it's very important.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the second reason. Even though, at least in the UK, I'm really not sure about the US statistic, but in the UK, the AIF, the Association of Independent Festivals, actually reported that 49% of independent festivals were run by promoters who identify as female. And this I have also seen with my own eyes. Like, there are so many more festival programmers and festival organizers and even collaborators within the festival industry that are female. And it's a really, really cool thing to see. And it's really refreshing because it's often been very associated to be a very, like, male dominated role.
Correct.
Touring and live music is mostly associated with, like, a male professional. Historically, and we are seeing a change in that, which is really cool. So this hopefully will translate into greater diversity in festival stages, not only because women will be able, which is exactly what you were saying, Anais, like, not only will women be able to just be there and say, okay, we need a woman. Having different perspectives is what makes festival organization dynamic and actually reflect the audiences that are going to the festival.
I really like that quote you just said. Having diversity makes music festivals dynamic. Awesome. That's a highlight. I think we can go to the next reason why this is happening. And it's also a reflection of the world itself, which is gender-based violence. Well, this translates as any act of violence and abuse that disproportionately affects women and is rooted in systematic power differences and inequalities between men and women. This happens in the music industry as well. And it's a very serious issue that should not be silenced and hidden from the public.
Yeah, gender-based violence, like sexual violence, sexual harassment, any type of discrimination against women has been very prominent, especially within live music. And this doesn't even have to be, like, something physical. It could be verbal harassment as well. It could be women given separate opportunities just because they're women.
Yes.
And it is something that obviously comes from society, comes from, again, bias, stereotypes, sexism. And it is something that must be stopped. It could discourage a lot of female artists from wanting to play festivals.
Yep.
It just creates a toxic environment, which directly connects to representation on stage, which is not okay.
Correct. And this is why it's important to have women in backstage roles, in production roles, because we tend to take care of each other, and it all comes full circle.
Yeah. And also protocols can really come in place, bring this issue to light.
Mm-hmm.
Because if no one brings it to light, like, no one will do anything about it. So talking about it, bringing it to the forefront of the issue is something that is incredibly important.
Yes.
So this makes me wonder what the fourth reason is, Anais. And this is something that is quite interesting because it doesn't really have to do with systemic issues that we have in society. It just has to do with festival demand and customer behavior, which is more on the economic side, not so much as on this sociological, like, feminism side.
Yeah, but it's the main reason why festivals exist, because there's fans and there's people buying tickets and going and attending the festivals. So
exactly.
The most important branch in the festival industry is fans and the audience. Because in the end, everything's done for them, for us. So, yeah, we're going to talk about impact on festival demand.
So I just want to start with a quick question to you as a festival fan. How many tickets have you bought to a festival without even seeing the lineup?
I've actually bought 3 or 4 tickets, just like first tier, early bird, no lineup. I don't know who's going to perform. I don't care who's going to perform, because I want to go and have the experience of the festival itself. I did it with Coachella 2022. I actually have tickets for Austin City Limits in October this year, and I don't know who's going to perform. There's no lineup yet. So why would you think that having more women, it's going to lower your demand in festival if tickets are going to be sold out before the lineup comes? Tickets are sold out in the majority of festivals, especially after the pandemic. Since people were like in quarantine for so long, they just want to be out in the world and they want to go enjoy live music. They really don't care who's going to be playing. So you really can't say that having women in lineup is going to like affect finances in music festival. It makes no sense.
Yeah. What are the factors you consider when buying a ticket to a music festival?
I really think about what the personality of the festival is. Like, for example, Coachella, you have the desert, Palm Springs, California, I don't know, nice weather. Colombia, you have the mountains, you know, Latin America, it's a whole different vibe. I feel like, for example, Primavera Sound in Barcelona, well, you have Barcelona, which is a amazing city. That's one of the factors. Also, I'm not gonna lie, it is important. Ticket value is never gonna be the same, a ticket to go to Coachella than a ticket to go to Lollapalooza in Argentina, for example. So that has a lot to do with it as well. That's basically it. Like, I enjoy all kinds of music. I really like don't look a lot into who's gonna perform or not. I also love going and discover new artists and listening to music I've never listened before. That's very important. That's the main reason why I love festivals, just discovering new music. It's amazing.
And that's a really good point there, because that really highlights the importance of festivals, not only for artists or society, but for the fan itself.
Right.
You get to discover so many new artists and it's so much fun. Like, the actual vibe of the festival, the experience of it makes it so fun.
Yeah, it's amazing, because you could probably like see an artist you've never listened before in a little stage at like 3 p.m. in the afternoon, like 50 people in the audience. But a couple of years after, you might see it on the main stage, you know, so you can actually like grow with artists as well. That's a really cool thing about festivals too.
And I really love that. Yeah, I love that, because it really builds fan loyalty.
Yes, that's important. Fan loyalty.
Yeah. So with these questions, I just really wanted to like emphasize the fact that none of these really had to do with the gender of the artists. Like, obviously, it's something that when you buy a ticket, you obviously consider if you already know the lineup. And it's something that people are really, really highly aware of, especially as this is something that is really becoming a popular topic of discussion amongst festival fans. And it could be a requirement for some, but I don't think it's a requirement for all. Not a lot of people are going to buy or not buy a ticket just because they're isn't a 50-50 lineup. And it doesn't, that's not a bad thing. It's just like, it just tells you a lot where festival demand is and why people actually go to festivals. So the reason why we're actually putting this into perspective for this context is because without the economic incentive, festival organizers really don't have a lot to lose on not having a 50-50 lineup, because people will still go to their festival, especially if it's a major festival that already has a reputation.
Correct.
And that's really unfortunate because it doesn't really make festival organizers change really quickly. It doesn't really give an incentive for them to actually be like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. we're seeing this recorded in our accounting. We need to change this for this year, for next year. So it's something that should really be put in the limelight, not just because people should be more aware of this issue, but because festival organizers should do it regardless of the incentive, just because it's an important thing to do and talk about, and it's long overdue, really long overdue.
Yes, agreed.
So I think it also brings us to a really nice bridge into thinking about how we can solve this issue in the future.
Yes, correct. I feel like one of the most important aspects of having change in the music industry towards women is the role of fans and their support towards women artists. It is very important to give them visibility, to share their music, to attend their shows, because that's how festival organizers are going to see that, oh, look, this girl, she's like doing something in her city or in her, I don't know, community. We should have her in our festival. So yeah, support your female artists, share their music, play their music, attend their shows, buy their music. That's a very important solution.
And that's something that everyone can do right now.
Yeah, now with streaming services, playing their music in YouTube, it's free, like it's for everyone, it's right there. It's very easy now to support artists than it was before. And yeah, we encourage you guys to do that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Also, there have been some organizations and initiatives that have popped up that we have had the chance to talk about in different episodes as well.
Mm-hmm. We are obsessed with them. We love them.
We really are. We love them. Some of them are Women in Music, Amplify Her Voice.
She is the Music.
She is the Music, the USC Annenberg Institute, and some UK-based ones for anyone that wants like UK-specific ones. She Said So is an amazing organization. The PRS Foundation has provided so much support for female musicians as well. There are some like genre-specific ones, like Women in Rock Music, Women in Jazz, like very cool organizations that are really working towards making it better and making female artists really feel like they have a voice. And yeah, I think these organizations are extremely important. And one that I want to highlight particularly is the Key Change Initiative, which I did mention as part of the timeline earlier in the episode. The Key Change Initiative was created by the PRS Foundation in collaboration with Creative Europe in 2018. And it started with 45-ish different festivals that pledged to achieve gender equality by 2022. I think the Key Change Initiative, its efforts have been really, really big. They have started to get known throughout the industry, and it's really good because they really provide like really good guidelines to support their festivals and like Stand and Calling and Underneath the Stars have been able to achieve gender equality, which is really good, and it does mean that this works. But I really feel like while the intention is there, there is so much more we should be doing as an industry to move forward and really have festivals represent and have a 50-50 representation in their lineups. So another way of addressing this issue, which we did mention when we mentioned the causes, was directly addressing the pipeline issue, because it's something that is truly important. And what Anaïs said about supporting your female artists as a fan is crucial to trying to combat this, but also making record labels aware that this is an issue making festival organizers aware that this is an issue, just speaking out. And what we're doing now is just trying to put a little, like our little teeny grain of sand in helping out, because just coming out, speaking out, putting the facts there, putting it as straightforward as we can go a long way. So if you just talk about this issue with your friends, with your family, if you're wanting to work in the industry, just go and read about these topics, because education is key in solving all inequality. That's a firm belief that I
have. Yes, I believe that too. I believe that too. We need to talk about this, put it on the table. And especially if you are a man in the music industry, just be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of there are women making these decisions with me. Why isn't it, you know, giving a hand out?
Exactly. So with that, I think we can start wrapping up.
It's been a very cool episode. I love talking about this. Do you have any festivals planned for this year that you want to go?
So last year I had the chance of going to BST Hyde Park and All Points East and Visions Festival during the summer, July and August. And they were absolutely amazing. So I really want to try and go this year as well. But yeah, I really want to go to more festivals this year. I wanted to go to Primavera, but it's going to clash with like vacation and stuff. So
we're going to have our time.
But definitely soon. Definitely All Points East, definitely BST. Actually, fun fact, Anais was the first one to take me to a festival.
I was about to say that we met like in person, because, you know, we live in different extremes of the world. We met in Orlando, which is the city that I live, and I took Isabella to her first festival ever. It was a reggaeton music festival, so
It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was amazing. Very hot too. Middle of the summer.
Very hot, yeah. But it was so cool. What festivals are you looking forward to going to, Anais?
Well, I feel like last year I went to a lot of festivals. So this year I wanted to like take it easy, because it is a lot of money too invested in that. But definitely looking forward to Austin City Limits in Texas.
Oh, that's a really cool
one. In October
one.
And 3 Points in Miami, which is a festival that I love. It'll be my third year this year. I got to see Rosalía last year there, and it was amazing. It's a 2-day festival. It's like independent. A lot of young people working on it. So if you guys in Miami during October, I encourage you to go. It's very cool.
That's so much fun. Well, we're manifesting more festivals.
And we're manifesting outings. More women in lineups. Yes.
Claro que sí.
Claro que sí. Spanish lessons 101.
So yeah, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sticking with us. If you have this whole time.
Go follow us on social media. What's our Instagram, Isabella?
You can follow us anywhere. Well, actually, just Instagram. At backbeat.pod. That's at backbeat.pod. And yeah, we're so happy that you've joined us. Please keep listening to our episodes and keep on sharing cool content yourself as well. Anything that you find, please send it our way. We're always, always super open to talk about new topics, to learn about new topics. So if you have any,
send us a DM.
If you have any thoughts, anything, or just to say hi, we're always here. So thank you so much. And thank you Anais for helping me out with this.
Thank you for existing. Gracias por existir. All right, bye. Love you guys.
Love you. Bye. You might have been.